This episode is brought to you by Just Egg. You can't have plant-based breakfast without a plant-based egg. You can get started with a free sample. Just head to ju.st/hrn.
This week on Meat and Three, we're jumping into a world filled with fizz, iridescence, and deliciousness. We're talking about bubbles.
It came from the air gas truck. Yeah, no, I never thought about it before that.
And I think it's emerged as the Bulbous Tea Shops, a site of Asian-American youth identity building.
We're called the invisible industry because these products you don't really see, but they're around us in every way, every day.
Listen to Meat and Three wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Allison Kane, and welcome to In the Sauce, a podcast about building consumer brands from the ground up. I love doing this show because I get to interview everyone from production gurus to marketing and social media mavens, anyone who can guide me on this crazy journey. This is the story of building Haven's Kitchen sauces, but it's also the story of every growing brand because we're all in the sauce.
Hi, I'm Courtney Becerra, brand director at Haven's Kitchen, and I'm here with Marissa Dobbins, our general manager. Hi, Allie is on vacation this week, so we're using this episode of In the Sauce to talk smack about her. Just kidding. But we are going to take this hour to talk about what we do at Haven's Kitchen, how the past few years have been for us, not as founders, but as people who work intimately with one. So wanted to welcome Marissa.
How are you? I'm great, Courtney. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Happy Monday. You had a pretty big weekend.
I did. I got a puppy. We adopted a four-month-old shepherd over the weekend. Her name is Tabitha. So if you hear any little growls or a little whimper, bear with me. Between Marissa and I, we have a bit of a zoo. We each have two cats. Five in total. It's a lot.
They've been napping all day until this moment. They are now surrounding me. They know it's important. So they're here.
Yeah, they're here to participate. They have a lot to say about Haven's Kitchen. So Marissa, let's just dive right in. So talk to me a little bit about your role at Haven's Kitchen and like what the journey that brought you to us.
What a journey. So I'm currently the general manager for Haven's Kitchen, which means that I oversee sales, operations, finance, a little bit of gen ops as well. How did I get here? Well, Courtney, you and I know each other from our previous roles. Before joining Haven's Kitchen, I was at an online grocer here in New York for about 6 years. Before that, I actually worked at NBC. That's actually what brought me here to New York. I started as a merchandise assistant for the buyers at the NBC Experience store, and we created product based on TV shows. So things like The Office bobbleheads or Troy and Abed in the morning mugs from Community claims to fame. After spending about 5 years at NBC, I really wanted to get into food. I watched way too many food documentaries and was reading a lot of Michael Pollan books and wanted to, you know, participate in the disruption of the food ecosystem in some way, and landed at Fresh Direct here in New York, which, you know, again, is how we met.
My former manager, boss, taught me everything I know.
Let's talk more about that.
I know. Did you always, what did you want to be when you were a kid, by the way?
Ooh, no, I, I wanted to be Scully from The X-Files.
Ah, of course.
You know, forensic psychologist, real cool cat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wanted to be Olivia Benson, naturally. It's like, I just thought that when I grew up, I was going to wear a trench coat and like walk the streets of Manhattan.
Yeah. And look at us naturally. Now.
Starting from the bottom, yeah. Now we're here. Fresh Direct, what a 6 years. That's a long time.
Yeah. I was working for a couple of different departments there. I started in produce and more sort of a supporting administrative role. And I think the cool thing about working at a company like that was that you really got a lot of exposure to other departments. Like there's a lot of kind of sharing of food and a lot of kind of communal gathering spaces there. I moved from that supportive role to sort of an associate merchant role for dairy. And over the years, took on more and more responsibility. And when I left, I had been overseeing the grocery, frozen, and dairy departments, and had sort of a team of buyers. And really, my role there was kind of a lot of vendor management. So working with brands like Haven's Kitchen, assortment, pricing, promotional management, really sort of keeping the Fresh Direct kind of mission alive, but also a lot of kind of financial responsibility in that as well, and team management responsibility. Yeah. So,
yeah, I mean, so remind me, when I first started at Fresh Direct, you were managing dairy at the time.
I was
right?
managing dairy, yes. And you were brought on as a role to support all of the buyers in the grocery frozen dairy department there.
Yeah.
You had no idea what you were getting into.
Oh, heck no. I was an eager beaver.
And why, remind me again, why Fresh Direct? How did you end up there?
Oh, that's a really great question. So, I mean, you know my story, but for the sake of the podcast, I've always had a passion for food, like everybody will likely say, big part of my culture, my family. I was terrible at school. I was terrible at science. So if I wanted a career in culinary, you know, you need to a lot of studying, a lot of science. I was naturally bad at it. But my father owns a bread distribution company here in Manhattan. And I worked for him for a long time. And it was with him that I learned how to run a business. He taught me the importance of treating your customers and your distributors like family and how to have a good working relationship that translates to friendships and good service. And it served him well over the last 30 plus years. And you know, I was working for him. I don't know. I was a 20-something-year-old punk who thought she knew it all.
Now you're a 30-something-year-old punk who thinks she knows it all.
It's true. It's so true. It's like, you know me. But one of the things that he always taught me was that, you know, I'm not indispensable. I needed to work hard. I needed to do a good job. And I clearly, like, I carried that with me wherever I went. But I knew I loved my father, but I hated him as a boss. And I wanted to be in the food industry. And I got some experience in e-com and ended up applying for Fresh Direct. And that's how I got that role. You know, I really wanted to get my foot in the door outside of my father's industry, or like his sub industry of like the bread business. And it led me to Fresh Direct, which was just, I think, a fantastic opportunity for me. Like you said, being able to work cross functionally in a company like Fresh Direct was just such a unique opportunity. And I know you don't really get that very often. And the culture, you know, everybody was just so wonderful and everybody was really like a family. So that's what brought me there. And I think I was able to, I think I got promoted. Mm-hmm. I moved twice in the few years that I was there.
Brag.
And that's, again,
you were a rock star.
Yeah, right? but that's the great thing about working at a company like that is that there is a lot of opportunity. Like if you bust your ass enough and you work hard enough, you can grow relatively mm-hmm. quickly. There's definitely a lot of work there. But back to you for a second. You know, we're working in a unique environment in a mm-hmm. startup company now virtually in the food industry. This is the first time, right? You're on the brand
this
side.
This is the first time. Yes. Yeah.
Can you talk to me a little bit about your challenges, like the hurdles that you face?
Yeah. I mean, I think within the first like month of working at Haven's Kitchen, I was like, oh gosh, I put some brands through a lot of stuff as a buyer. I think, you know, there's very kind of high expectations from buyers of deliverables from brands. And I think getting sort of a peek behind the curtain of everything that is involved in getting a product onto a shelf was really eye-opening for me in a way that I didn't expect. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, while Fresh Direct was a smaller sized company when we were there, going from a team of, or a company size of say 2,000 people, 2,500 people, to a company that had five was a real shock. Also sort of the working environment was also a big hurdle for me at the beginning. Working out of a corporate office at the Fresh Direct space, where you have very traditional cubicles and conference rooms, you have an IT team who's there to support and provide you with a laptop and a conference line. All of these things that you kind of take for granted as you're going to show up into a workspace and all of these things are going to be there for you. Coming to Haven's Kitchen, and I think because the company was not just a sauce company, it was a cafe and an event space and a cooking mm-hmm. school, I walked into a beautiful carriage house in Chelsea and was like, okay, like, where do I sit? And it was, you know, find a couch on the third floor or sit at the bar on the second floor. So I think the physical kind of space of mm-hmm. of a startup environment for me was really challenging. And I think also, you know, I had been at Fresh Direct for so long that I felt like, you know, I could do that job with my eyes closed. Like I had it, you know?
Yeah. And you killed it, by the way.
Thank you.
Now this is my turn to be like, brag, woman, brag.
So coming into a brand new space and meeting new people and feeling like I had to kind of start all over again, I was also coming into a role that was kind of unfamiliar for me. So I started at Haven's Kitchen as a director of operations. And mm-hmm. while I had experience at Fresh Direct working with operations, because, you know, the role of a buyer at Fresh Direct was to really understand how things kind of move through the facility, how to work directly mm-hmm. with marketing to get your sort of programs on the website. It was really my first experience in a purely operational role. And so I felt very much like, yeah, a lot of sort of stress and it was all kind of, it was all coming from internal, right? Like, mm-hmm. from the moment I started working at Haven's Kitchen, it has been nothing but, supportive and encouraging. I've never mm-hmm. felt, you know, sort of like I didn't belong or that I didn't have enough experience. I very much could kind of pull from the experiences I had as a buyer and use sort of my business knowledge to translate that into something that was very much more operationally focused.
Yeah, I don't know why I just remembered I haven't thought about this, but I remember when you were applying for the job, I remember you texting me and being like, I don't know. I don't really have operational experience, Courtney. And I'm like, please. I have watched you launch countless private brand products, analyze categories top to bottom, decide packaging. You have more operational experience than anybody that we would bring in this
role. I remember
role.
Walking away from the interview and just being like, I got that locked down. I love them.
You did.
They love me. Let's do this. And I was so excited to get to work with you again.
Oh my God. It was, I think one of the happiest days of my professional career to be able to work with you again. And I think, and I feel like you and I, we talk about this all the time offline. But just how lucky I feel to often refer to you as like my professional soulmate. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't imagine not working with you. And I remember when I quit Fresh Direct, that the hardest part was telling you, you know, and I was so heartbroken because I just absolutely love working with you so much.
I was devastated. You know, I was devastated.
I remember I couldn't even tell you in the office. I had to get you drunk. I had to take you to a bar and get you drunk first.
It was a moment. I will not forget it. It was really, I had a really hard time with that because I think for me, like, it was a big shift in my career at that point. Like, there was a lot of stuff kind of going on. And I think, you know, I came to depend on you for a lot because you just constantly over-delivered. And you felt like you were a thing that was kind of like, you were keeping me together. You were keeping the team together. And I just thought, like, what am I going to do without Courtney? And I couldn't do it, clearly. I had to leave.
Well, I mean, selfishly, I am very happy that you joined, and that's very sweet of you. And I think, you know, just it's always like heartwarming when I hear you say something like that. You know, I think this, just going back to like my experience working for my dad, he would always tell me, Courtney, nobody is indispensable. If I die tomorrow, my customers still are going to have to sell 500 breakfast sandwiches in tomorrow's rush, and they're going to need bread. And if you don't do your job, then I'm going to have to find somebody else. And it was just, I mean, don't tell him now because he'll never let me hear the end of it. But it was one of the best pieces of advice that I think I've gotten, you know, throughout my career, because it's followed me throughout everything that I've done, is that there's always going to be somebody who is smarter or more, you know, quote unquote, more prepared or more experienced or better at whatever. So you just have to always bust your ass, put in as much work as possible, and really just be the best that you can be, you know? I feel like a cereal commercial, but, you know, it's kind of the truth. And just, again, like, working with you has been, I mean, you've been such a fantastic mentor and friend and confidant and colleague. I can go on and on and on. okay, we talked about the challenges. We talked about, you know, how you had that culture shift coming into a startup from a more corporate environment. And we talked about how much you love me. So what about the job itself at Haven's Kitchen? I know you said that it kind of shifted in like the year. How long have you been here now?
Since 2019. So it's been two years.
Okay. So like, right. Okay. So in like the 2 years you've been here, your job has shifted a little bit, but like, what do you love about your job?
I pause there because I love so many things. do you think this is what Ellie imagined this podcast was going to be? Just us gushing about how much we love working at Haven's Kitchen.
HK Love Fest? You mean so every day of our jobs?
What do I love about my job? I do love working in a small team environment. I love that I have
autonomy to make decisions, that my experience and my opinion is truly valued, and I can have an impact on team members. I can have an impact on the choices that we make as a group of sort of where we're taking this business. It feels really powerful and wild to think about. You know, one of my favorite parts of my job always is the managing, mentoring of teams. I think I, you know, as a 20-something-year-old earlier in my career, I sort of questioned my ability to lead, and over the years have developed a management style pulled from, you know, various experiences that I've had, sort of sharpened by therapy.
yeah. Amen for therapy. Big shout out to our therapist.
Shout out to my therapist. And just, you know, learning how to be a better communicator, a better empathizer. You know, I think that is really fun for me, kind of getting to see people grow in their roles, being able to participate in that is also really exciting for me. Yeah, I love all those things.
That's beautiful. And I'm like also over here like on the verge of tears, because I do feel like you have really, you've shaped the way that I have gone about in my career. And you've, as a manager, you have been so supportive and also have put me in my place when I've needed it, which has been, you know, sometimes it's quite frequently. So Marissa, what have been some of the takeaways this past year? We've seen as a company over 500% growth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Catch your breath. A lot has happened in this world.
Yeah.
What would you say are some of those takeaways?
I think one of the biggest takeaways for me has been sort of getting comfortable with recognizing that with that much growth, it requires us and our team members to have sort of ever-evolving job descriptions. Like what I was doing 2 or 3 months ago is not necessarily what I'm doing now. And it's not always just adding more and more responsibility. It's kind of shifting and changing and taking things away that are just not necessary anymore and focusing on other things. That has been particularly challenging. Working remotely has been really challenging. I think I personally, while I am, I almost said I'm introverted. I don't think, thank you, therapy. I don't actually think I'm introverted. I think, I am in the sense that like a lot of kind of socializing and a lot of external stimulation can be really draining for me. And so on one hand, working remotely has allowed me to kind of block out all of that excess noise and really kind of focus. But I have really, really missed being in a physical space with people. And while, you know, we've got a bunch of technology that allows us to interact over text or over video calls, it removes that sort of walking by somebody's desk to just say like, hey, Courtney, like, can you take a look at this for a second and give me your opinion? I do miss that a lot. I mean, speaking of changes over the past year, you have gone from when I started at Haven's Kitchen, you were focusing on field marketing and in-store demos and merchandising. And we went into 2020 with a big old budget for Whole Foods demos. And that got pulled out from under us in March. I'd love to sort of unpack a little bit about sort of your journey and what that experience was like, sort of being faced with like, oh, my job is almost completely going away. Like there's no in-store merchandising at all. There's no demos. Yeah. Now what?
Yeah, that's actually, you say that and it gives me a little PTSD. Yeah.
You were afraid, right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, like, so in general, if we back up to like what I, or how I break down like my role of protecting the brand, I'd like to think of myself as like a big ass Brita filter. And I think you may also relate to this in a sense. So when Allie comes to us, for example, with a vision or some like big idea, you know, sometimes they're just random thoughts, you know, she kind of like comes at us with these like cool things, sometimes a little crazy. And our job is to kind of distill that into what ultimately becomes our strategy. Yep. And I think the pivot we were forced to make in COVID is a really great example of that. Like you very well explained, I spent months developing this strategy for in-store demos. And literally overnight, that was gone. And like most of the world, when the pandemic hit, I took it pretty hard. You know, we were closing down the brick and mortar. There were 62 million other things happening at the same time. People were losing their jobs. People were dying. I don't think anybody felt safe. And while I think we all knew on the CPG side of the business, we were relatively quote unquote protected because of the nature of our product being in grocery and panic buying and all of that jazz, I think we knew logically that we were okay. But I don't think that there was a rational thought in my mind at all. And I was really scared. And making a total assumption here on like why Allie kind of did what she did, but I'm assuming it was almost like a survival mode for her. She just kicked into overdrive. Yes. And that woman was just like dozens of phone calls a day. Courtney, speak to this person. I spoke to this agency. Get on the phone with that person. And I remember being overwhelmed, not with like what she was saying. I mean, yes, but overwhelmed with everything else that was happening in the world. And Allie was just like throwing these like balls of references and agencies and contacts for me to like figure out what to do with them. And I remember telling her this after the fact. I felt like I was just in a daze catching these balls she was throwing at me and putting them into this metaphorical basket. And I didn't know what to do with the balls at the time. But little by little, I picked each one back up and figured out, okay, I need to throw this ball that way. I need to pass this ball off to this person. This ball, I just need to put this to the side for a second. And distilled, like, you know, slowly filtered through everything she was throwing at me. Because, you know, she needed to make sure that this business was going to be okay. Like that was her job. Her job was to make sure that we were pivoting on point in the right direction. And it almost feels like I was like a little toddler on a tricycle, you know, when they don't have the muscles to get momentum. And I feel like she just kind of, she gave me like a little push on the bottom. Help me get some momentum. And like now I feel like a year later, I'm cruising on a two-wheeler, you know?
Yes. Yeah. She gave you that little boost. I mean, it feels like a life raft, right? And I think one of the things that I've learned from her is, you know, you don't necessarily have to be an expert at everything, but you do need to know how to sort of leverage your network. And Allie is such a good, so good at kind of, you know, looking out at her network of people that she's built and being like, I'm not sure if this is relevant, Courtney, but I had this conversation with this person. Let me put you in touch to sort of allow us to kind of gather the information that we need in order to sort of learn and get better at our jobs, which is like, I'm so thankful for.
Yeah. it's just such a wonderful quality that she has to take those resources and give us, almost make us feel empowered to make the right decision.
And I think like early, you know, early on at Haven's Kitchen, because operations was so new for me, I very much was, I was calling brands that I had worked with to say, hey, now I'm doing this. Like, how do I get a refrigerated truck to bring product from Brooklyn to South Hackensack, New Jersey? Like, I had no idea what I was doing. I mean, I knew a little bit of what I was doing, but...
but you didn't know what you didn't know exactly what you needed to do, but you knew what to do in order to get done what you needed.
I knew enough to say, I don't know how to do this. Let me ask somebody who does do that. And I think it's funny now because, you know, we've now been in these roles for a couple of years. And I think you and I are starting to get calls to say, hey, I don't know how to do this thing. Courtney, you're an expert. You tell me. And I mean, I laugh too when people call us. I'm like, am I an expert? I guess I am. I'm still learning things. You know, I know you've had a couple of calls recently with some startup brands who are looking for advice on the marketing side. How do you sort of approach those calls or those inquiries?
Usually, like, I also need some advice. I think going back to, again, my experience working with my dad. Oh, God, if he listens to this episode, I'm never going to hear the end of it. See, everything that I do,
he was so good to you.
Verbatim. But basically, one of the things that I've learned from him is, don't be selfish with your resources and your knowledge and your experience. Always, always share. Always be willing to support those around you. And it will come back tenfold. And every time, you know, I get a phone call from a brand and I'm like, Dad, you know, they're asking me for advice.
Yeah.
Good girl. Because you have to share all of your knowledge. And one of the reasons why I just adore working for Allie is that she has that same mentality of information sharing. So I always approach those conversations as what can we learn from each other? How can we support each other? Because what I've learned, digital side of e-com for a sauce brand doesn't apply to a chip company. It doesn't, the strategy and the metrics don't apply to a chicken nugget, you know, whatever it is, like but if you can at least share like how you were analyzing the data or whatnot, I think that I have a lot of fun in these conversations in like, what are you doing? And how can we brainstorm to figure out what works for you? So they're always a lot of fun, because the reality is like, I don't think any of us are truly experts, especially in if 2020 showed us anything, is that we know nothing. We're all just figuring shit out. I don't know if I can say it, but I already did.
And most brands are in the same boat. No, everybody's just trying to figure it out. And we're all trying to lean on each other to learn and to improve. And it's really challenging.
Yeah, it's definitely a journey. It's been a journey, you know? It's been a crazy ride. But I feel like this applies maybe more to marketing than ops. I feel like you might have a heart attack just knowing you if I say this. But like, marketing is a series of experiments, throwing shit against the wall and seeing what sticks. You want to be calculated and you want to make sure that you're not just throwing random things to the wall, but ultimately, you know, that's what it is. It's just figuring out what works, because what works for this brand, you know, at this particular time won't work for the same brand in 2 months.
Yeah.
So a lot of information sharing. Speaking of information sharing, this is a good time maybe for a break to hear from our sponsors.
Just Egg is now the fastest growing egg brand in the United States. Bring more plant-based consumers in your doors with easy-to-use Just Egg. You can get started with a free sample. Just head to ju.st/hrn. That's ju.st/hrn. Made from plants, Just Egg is a better egg for you and for the planet. It's healthier, with no cholesterol and less saturated fat, and it's more sustainable. Just Egg uses less water and generates fewer carbon emissions. Most importantly, it's delicious. For our listeners who operate a food service establishment, you can get a sample for free. Head to ju.st/hrn. That's ju.st/hrn. Just Egg makes a delicious plant-based addition to any menu. It's available as a liquid scramble, great for omelets, frittatas, stir fries, and French toast. There's also a frozen pre-baked folded version that's ideal for filling breakfast sandwiches or topping salads. Chef Jose Andres calls Just Egg mind-blowing, and Bon Appetit says, it's so good, I feel guilty eating it. Put the fastest-growing egg brand on your menu. Get a free sample of Just Egg for your restaurant at ju.st/hrn.
Hi, I'm Courtney. Ali is away this week. I'm here with Marissa, our general manager here at Haven's Kitchen, and we're talking about all of our experience working closely with the founder and how we got here. And more importantly, what it has been like to pivot the business in the middle of a pandemic. I also want to talk, Marissa, a little bit about your, I know we touched on it earlier, but your love or your passion for being a great manager. And I think you have, and I speak from personal experience, you have a reputation everywhere that you go for not just being like an excellent worker and somebody who's dependable and responsible and organized, et cetera, et cetera, but that you are genuinely a fantastic manager. And I'm not saying that to, you know, make you feel good. I say it from personal experience. How did you tighten that skill? And what would you suggest to people like me who are learning how to manage mm-hmm. other people?
Well, thank you, first of all. I'll never forget one of my mom's like proudest moments of me was when I was 17 years old and working at Walden Books at the Meadowglen Mall in Medford, Massachusetts. And she came to like pick me up, and my boss told her that I was one of her favorite employees because I was so reliable and so gosh darn good at stacking books. My mom to this day still talks about this. So oh, I think I've had a pretty strong work ethic from the jump. I think it's also sort of my Virgo tendency to just want to be like, you know, perfect at everything.
I've read your
user guides.
TV timeout. For those of you who don't know what a user guide is, Ali, I think, I don't know if she read a book,
I think it was,
or
somebody
she
on the
interviewed
podcast.
Somebody.
Yeah.
It was somebody on the podcast. I'm so sorry if I'm not giving the right person the proper credit, but Ali learned about this user guide tool, which is basically everybody on the team writes a little bit about themselves, how they like to communicate, what annoys them, what they like, what other questions were there?
What to do? It was what to do when I am annoyed. Things that may annoy you about me. Just, you know, sort of styles of communication. It was such a helpful exercise for me. I know it was painful for some people.
I hated it. I'm so grateful now that it's over, but really, it was actually, I feel like I know you very well, but in reading that, like a lot of it, I was like, yeah. Oh yeah, I see it, girl. And other parts I was like, oh, yeah. I get it now. Like I know you and I see what you do and how you react, but to be able to read it in your own words, I think was super helpful. And I feel like I know you even better and almost like how to, quote unquote, handle you.
I felt the same way. It explained a lot of things for me. And I think it helped me recognize that, like, there are, like, we are human. And that we are all walking through the world in a particular sort of manner and style. And that doesn't go away when you show up for work. And I think it helped me sort of recognize that there are particular styles of communication across the team that are easily sort of adapted to if you just sort of understand where it's coming from. I really enjoyed the exercise.
It was like I said, it was kind of painful for me. I don't know who I was saying this to earlier today. I refer to it in my personal life, like in my relationship, I'm like, oh, I am like this, or I reacted this way, or I'm communicating this way because I feel this way. Like it almost like forced me to stop and really be present with where that emotion comes from and how it affects my communication style and ultimately my work output. Anyway, sorry for the segue.
Important segue.
Back on track.
To be honest, a lot of sort of my recent approaches to my management style or sort of what I've kind of crafted comes from a mentor that I had at Fresh Direct. Shout out to Gaurav. I'm going to have to make him listen to this now. But he used the term service leader with me very early on. And, you know, having not gone to business school or management school, it was a very new term for me. But the approach is generally, you know, how do I enable my direct reports to make decisions faster and easier? How do I make their lives easier? How do I remove roadblocks from them? How do I build out processes and tools to make their job more enjoyable and satisfying? So that's kind of my approach. I think what I've also recognized is that you don't necessarily need to be the loudest and boldest in the room to be a strong leader or manager. And so really kind of getting more comfortable with my approach to listening and how I kind of sort of compute things or understand things and asking for that kind of space and environment. And so for me, as a manager, you know, I find it really helpful to have weekly touch bases. But outside of that, sometimes I need a little bit of, I'm trying to think of specific examples. Like my approach is very much as a problem solver. And so my instinct is to like fix stuff. And I think part of that is the Virgo in me. You know, I think recently I've tried to kind of unpack that in a little way to not always kind of default to providing somebody with the answer, but providing them with potential paths for them to find the answer on their own has been my approach. And I think with, you know, we've recently expanded our team. Which has been
almost doubled, right?
And so that has been very new for us and for as Haven's Kitchen. And I think it has, you know, it has prompted me to kind of really reflect on the type of manager that I am. And, you know, I think it goes back to my work that I've been doing to be a better communicator and being very clear in expectations being very clear in, you know, job responsibilities and being empathetic to people and recognizing that, you know, my working style is not necessarily the same working style as my direct reports. My communication style is not the same as my direct reports. And, you know, also a level of like compassion and understanding. Like, we are going through some ridiculous shit as a, you know, as a world. Yeah.
Collective universe. Yeah.
And even when this wasn't going on, just, you know, having compassion and empathy and recognizing that, like, not everybody is going to be a high performer all the time. And, you know, having compassion for that and forgiveness. And, you know, on the flip side, like, providing people with, like, validation and recognition and... Now I feel like I'm rambling, but like I've, you know.
No, but I hear you, because I feel like it, particularly as women, and I feel like both of us have gravitated towards jobs that have put us on teams mm-hmm. of all women. Well, now we have our mm-hmm. first boy on the Haven's mm-hmm. Kitchen team. But I think, you know, when you're on a team of mostly women, there is like this imposter syndrome that is there.
Right.
Like silently just creeping yep. in the background, just like around every corner. And it's a constant battle to remind, we have to like remind each other that you can yeah. toot your own horn. You can brag a little bit. You mm-hmm. can do this. Like you right. are qualified.
It's the constant,
you are doing
am I good
a good
enough?
Job. And it's, you know, I'm in a managerial role. This is some of my first managerial
experience.
And I think
it's been challenging, and, you know, right? Like you've sort of questioned yeah. your style a little bit.
Yeah. And you and I, we talk about like, you know, I talk to you about this all the time. Like, am I approaching mm-hmm. this the right way? You know, how can I, you know, best serve really my direct reports? Like, am I giving them the validation yeah. that they need? And, you know, I think it's a little underrated that mm-hmm. praise, that validation, that like, you know, cheerleading style. It doesn't work for every company yeah. or for every person. But I think, I don't know, I've found it really encouraging, you know, in how mm-hmm. I work. In my work style, and I feel like you and I are really opposites.
Yeah, I think we approach managing very differently, which is interesting because I think we've been in a situation where I was your manager, and it mm-hmm. worked out well enough that we we never want to not work with each other again.
Exactly.
But I think, you know, your approach to managing a team is very different from mine, but I think we very much learn from each other. And I think it goes back to some of the stuff yeah. that we did for the user guide of like, how do you build trust? How do you hold people accountable? Mm-hmm. How do you communicate with your team? And there's never going to be a one right way. I think as long as it's sort of grounded in that, you know, that humanity and that empathy and that strong communication, there's many different ways to sort of go about it.
Yeah. Cause I mean, I'm an over communicator. Right. I talk about everything. I have a feeling and I'm like, I need to unpack it, Marissa. I need to talk about
and
my
I'm
feelings
such a good
right
listener.
Now. You really are the best. and it's just like, I'm for everything. If I yes. see something and you, I want to talk to you and like, you know, you seem down, are you okay? Which I've had to learn, Courtney, not everybody wants to talk about the damn feelings and yeah. that's okay. And I think part of the work that I've done mm-hmm. in therapy is like, silence is yes. not a bad thing. Calm is not a bad thing. And I think, you know, my energy has really helped in my work style because I get a lot done. Mm. I'm all about like high performance mm-hmm. all the time. And I think being a manager has helped me slow down
yeah.
for a second. Because like you said, not everybody is going to go at the same pace or communicate the same way. And part of my job is yes, to get the best work out of them, but also to help them be better at what they're doing and help them grow. Like if my direct report gets a promotion or, you know, gets, you know, more responsibility or is accomplishing great things, like for me, it's been like a source of pride. And it's been a really fun experience.
I said to you when we were working at Fresh Direct, you are a direct reflection of my ability to manage and support you. So yeah, I recognize that, you know, you want to see people flourish.
Mm-hmm. And I even remember, don't get mad at me for telling the story, but I remember when I first started reporting to you, you know, I would ask you, I was like communicating with buyers for their first time. And I was like, hey, Marissa, does this email look good? And I remember one time you were just like, you were like, oh, let me, if you want, just flip it to me and I'll send, and I can send the email. And I remember being like, no. I want to send the email. Like, and then you were like, okay, I totally hear you. And then I remember the next time I asked you, hey, can you look at this email? You were like, why? You got it. Like, you know what you're doing. You don't need me to proofread your email. And I remember being like, okay, I can do this.
Yeah.
And it was like, I feel like it was one of the first moments where we both kind of like taught each other something like really, really meaningful.
Absolutely.
And things that we were both struggling with at the time.
You needed more confidence. I needed to not immediately want to fix something.
Mm-hmm.
Look at that. Boom.
And look at us now. Complete. It's so funny. When I read your user guide, I think I even put it in like the Slack general. I was like, it is a miracle that, like, how do we not hate each other? Because we are so opposite. You're such a rule follower. And I'm like, screw the rules.
Yes.
Let's go with what feels like fun.
Totally. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, what a crazy time. So what's been the most fun since you've joined in January 2019?
Gosh, the most fun. I think learning some of the sales stuff has been really fun. I think sort of seeing the other side of the desk and... I've had very little actual sales calls because, you know, we have a team of salespeople who are amazing at what they do. I got my first chance to actually participate and lead a sales call the other day. And I was a little nervous going into it. And I thought to myself, oh gosh, like this is how brands feel sort of going into this and having been a buyer on the other side. I just sort of thought to myself, well, who gives a shit? Like, this is just a person on the other side who's trying to do their job.
Yeah.
And I'm just here to tell them Haven's Kitchen is amazing. And I want to make your job easier. And if you like our products, great. And if you don't, well, then it wasn't meant to be. Like, just sort of like blessing and releasing. But I think what was really fun was like, I could see in the buyer's eyes, like when they twinkled, like I knew I was saying the right thing. And I think being able to like pull from my experience as a buyer and know what was the right thing to say was really, I had a lot of pride coming out of that meeting. And it was fun because I knew it was a challenge going into it.
Well, the rest of the team was also super proud of
snaps.
Me because we heard about it and we were like, you're damn right, Marissa Slade. Didn't expect anything less.
So, I mean, you were also one of the first people to join Haven's Kitchen Sauce. I would imagine you've had some scary and stressful moments.
A little bit. I mean... scary and stressful moments when, you know, March 2020, like the rest of the freaking world, it was scary and it was stressful. But I guess one of the biggest takeaways from being on the Sauce team is it kind of reminds me of being I think I brought this up to you the other day. It kind of reminds me of being an experienced home cook. with like really not, you haven't gone to the grocery store in a few days, but you have a couple of like canned goods, essentials, and some condiments and maybe a pouch of sauce or something, right? And you're tired and you're exhausted and you're hungry, but you have the skills. You have the skill set to make a meal. And whether that's with a can of tuna and some sauce, you know, a handful of rice, a quick salad with whatever you have on hand, I don't know, a jar of marinated artichokes, whatever. And if you have the skill set, you can make a, you can make a meal and you can feed yourself and you can feed your family. And I feel like that has been like a metaphorical wrap up of what my time at Haven's Kitchen has been like. We have not always known what we needed to do or how we were going to do it, but we have the skill set and we have a dedicated team that is willing to figure shit out. And ultimately, I feel like every time we come across a stressful or a scary hurdle or a challenge, we always put a meal on the table.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah. It's been fun so far. Yeah. I'm excited for the years to come, because I feel like it's only about to get crazy better and bigger and more exciting. Wow. So, Marissa.
Yes, Courtney.
Could you or do you have any advice for working directly with a founder?
Ooh. I just like...
I don't know if you can hear. I'm sorry. I have a party going on in the back alley of my house.
I hear.
They're really jazzed about something.
They're excited for us to wrap up this podcast.
Yeah. We really do have to wrap up because I need to know what is happening. I also smell some barbecue. Like, who's barbecuing on Monday on a floor? Yes. I don't know, but I want to be there. your advice, Bird.
My advice for working with a founder. You know, I think what has been, you know, this is time for me to gush about Allie, I think. But I think what makes her such a good boss is that empathy, that communication. I am never afraid to tell her no. And I think that is because we have developed a really strong, trusting relationship. And, you know, my role is to, I think, you know, you talked about this earlier, but as a founder, she is going to have the sort of pie in the sky, very high level idea generating. That is her role. And yes,
that's her
and
job.
Our role is to either one, figure out how to just make it work, or two, tell her no. And it's really to protect the business, right? Because she's in the idea generating space, and we are in the, how do we take this and actually put it into a functional working ecosystem? And we are working with limited resources, time, money, people. And so every idea can't come to fruition. And so my role is to really understand sort of the business impact and the value of the choices that we're making. And this is honestly the first time I've worked so closely with the founder and have had such a great relationship with the founder that we can have these kind of conversations, and I don't have to be afraid of saying no. And I can welcome sort of conflict and tension and feedback and know that it's not anything personal. And that's not just for Allie, but, you know, I think across the team, we're not always going to agree on something, but we have respect for other people and that we'll hear them out and it can be a dialogue. And, mm-hmm. you know, there is a runway to be able to make decisions without fear of making a bad choice and knowing that we're kind of all mm-hmm. protecting each other so that, you know, we won't let somebody sort of fall off into the deep end, you know? What about you? What have some of your learnings been in?
I've worked with two founders at this point.
I was going to say, here comes your dad again.
Oh, my father. And I can't even articulate any sort of outright advice, other than information sharing, going back to that. You know, when Allie comes to me with an idea, sometimes it's just doing my research and, you know, letting her know what my overall thoughts are. And I think similarly to you, like, I'm not afraid to share with her what they are. And I think being honest and clear, most importantly, is really being clear with what we think the impacts of the to the business will be, but also if we can do it effectively. You know, and I think, like you said, we're a pretty lean team, and it happens often where, like, we're talking about an absolutely fantastic idea, but we don't have the you know, enough people to execute it. So maybe this has to be parked for a few months until we figure out how to do it. So really just honesty, communication, clarity. So pretty much everything you just said. All right. Well, thank you, Marissa,
Courtney.
my dear. I can't wait till I can hug you in person. I miss you so much.
We miss Allie.
Oh my God, I miss
She's
Allie
been
so
gone for
much.
Four
She's
days.
Away. Oh my goodness, it feels like an eternity. Allie, if you're listening, come home. We miss you. But she will be back next week with another episode of In the Sauce. I want to thank Amanda, our wonderful engineer, who has so wonderfully guided Marissa and I through this unknown virtual podcasting journey. And before we go, today is Allie's birthday. And as a little tribute to our wonderful, fearless leader, we have a little recording for you, Allie. Happy birthday,
Allie.
Hi, Allie, it's Clara, sending you some love and aloha from Hawaii. Wanted to wish you a very happy birthday. I hope you have a wonderful day and looking forward to many more to come.
Happy birthday, my dear Allie. I love you so, 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 so much. And I'm so happy and I'm so proud to be working with you and to be part of this really awesome company. You are genuinely, truly one of my favorite people. And I wish you so much happiness and health and joy in this next year of your life. And I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful birthday. Love, Courtney.
Hi, Allie. Wishing you the absolute happiest of birthdays. I hope your day is filled with rest and love and light and, of course, phenomenal food. You are such an inspiration. It is such an honor to work with you. Thank you so much for sharing your gifts with us. I hope you're somewhere with a cocktail in hand right now, celebrating the incredible woman that you are. Again, happiest of birthdays. Love, Fudge.
Happy birthday, Allie. Thank you for being our fearless and inspiring leader and for pushing us forward every single day. I'm so grateful to have joined the Havens team and have loved every minute of it. You know, can't wait to see what's next, but in the meantime, I hope you have an amazing day and an even better year ahead.
Hi, Allie, it's Kendall. Just wanted to say happy birthday and thank you so much for all that you do, for making delicious sauces and for being such a wonderful boss and person in general. I hope you have a great day. Bye.
Hey, Allie, it's Marissa. I wanted to wish you a happy birthday. I am so thankful to call you my boss, to call you my friend. You are one of the warmest, most generous, thoughtful people I know. I'm very, very grateful that I've had the opportunity to get to know you, and I wish you all of the best in the coming year. I hope you have time to celebrate with your family and your friends, and I hope you feel all of the appreciation and love. Happy birthday.
En este día especial quiero felicitar a mi patrona Allison. Yo sé cómo es y desearle mucha felicidad en el día de su cumpleaños. Que sea de mucha paz, alegría y felicidad junto a su familia y de todos sus seres queridos. Son los deseos de Marcelino Batista.
Hi, Ali. It's Rebecca. I wanted to wish you a very happy birthday. I hope you enjoy a little sunshine and some relaxation. You're an inspiring leader, a wonderful mother, and a generous and open-hearted person. You lead with compassion and are also straightforward, in the best way. Haven's Kitchen truly lives up to the name, as you've created a safe and open working environment for everyone who stepped foot into your world. You deserve everything you wish for and more. Happy birthday.
Hi, Ali. It's Maddie. Happy, happy birthday. I have been so blessed to have you as a boss and a mentor and a friend the last 3 years. It's been an incredible experience working for Haven's Kitchen and working for you, and you lead with such grace and you inspire us every day. I hope you have caviar and chips and delicious food to bring in this new year. Bye.
In the Sauce is powered by Simplecast. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Instagram and Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can also find us at facebook.com/heritageradionetwork. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Subscribe to the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join the HRN family by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.